Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio. Where you're listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallan. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Before we get into today's show, I just want to say that you can also listen to Speaking Out for the Blind on the TuneIn Radio mobile app. Just simply download the free app from the iTunes Store, click Browse, type ACB Radio Mainstream at the top of the search field, and tap the link from the list below. TuneIn is also available on the web at TuneIn.com and for BlackBerry, Windows, Android, and Amazon Kindle devices. It's easy, and it allows you to access Speaking Out for the Blind on your favorite mobile device or computer. Now back to today's Speaking Out for the Blind show. Today's blind guest is Dan Kaiser. Dan's website, Kaiser.net, says that he maintains over 20 years of success as a disability rights advocate with an emphasis on management, communications, and public relations. He was formerly the director of public relations for the Center for Independent Living in Berkeley, California, from 1978 to 1980, and he was the director of governmental affairs and advocacy for the California Council of the Blind from 1998 to 2008. Today, Dan is the station manager for Midtown Radio in Sacramento, and he's the host of the Big Fun Show, airing every Saturday on ACB Radio Mainstream. To talk about his accomplishments, let's welcome Dan Kaiser to Speaking Out for the Blind. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you here, too. Let's first talk about your blindness. Just how did you become blind?
I was born with Leber's congenital amaurosis, a fairly rare birth defect.
Your website shows that you had quite a bit of education. During the 70s, you went to three schools, San Francisco State, Sacramento State, and Contra Costa Community College. What did you study at all three schools, and how did you speak out about your abilities to apply the skills that you learned for your future careers?
That's a real good question, Brian. I think, actually, it started in high school when I passed the SAT exam, and I got into Sacramento State University from high school as the first person using their disability to get into the California Educational Affirmative Action Program. And I said, well, I feel like I'm a minority because I'm visually impaired. I have things that are only in common with me and my class of folks, and I have to do things a different way. I have to deal with stereotypes and discrimination, and that's how I got a scholarship to Sacramento State. Now, it probably wouldn't work nowadays, but it worked back then.
What was this affirmative action program?
It was a program to increase minority populations in the college setting. There weren't enough minority students in college, so. And I believe the state Supreme Court finally ruled in the late 70s that that wasn't legal, and they stopped that. But I got in early on that program in the early 70s.
You also have some very unique computer training and skills. You know JAWS, Drupal administrative tools. You also have experience in research, amateur radio operating, and terrestrial and internet radio broadcasting. How did you acquire all of these skills?
I had some, in addition to the defective gene, I had some good genes in terms of electronic broadcasting and electronic interests, because my dad was a space engineer at Lockheed. And so I think I got a lot of his electronic interest, and he was very proud of me because I passed my 13 word per minute Morse code, and he couldn't even pass that. So he was designing rockets and struggling to to passes 13 word per minute, and I zipped right through it. So I made him proud of me, and you know, I've always done like fun projects like Global Blind Exchange. I was the one who put that up. That was a very popular internet site in the 90s, before the World Wide Web, and I put that up and got a lot of blind folks into the internet, and so that was, I was real proud of that project. Me and a gentleman named Kenneth Frass both collaborated on that project, and unfortunately Kenneth is no longer with us, but those, I just have to dabble in some sort of a challenging electronic project at some point.
Speaking of disabilities, you've been an advocate for the disabled through your employment history. You've got quite a big employment history, Dan. I see from your website that you were the Center for Independent Living's Director of Public Relations from 1978 to 1980. You successfully procured $100,000 to remodel the headquarters in Berkeley, California, and you supervised the organization's media office. How did you speak out to accomplish these two tasks?
Well, there's a side story to that reason why I got that position, because I was doing a terrestrial radio show on the local Pacifica station, KPFA in Berkeley, and I was doing I started doing some reporting for Pacifica and for Metro Media, and I covered the civil rights rally for people with disabilities in San Francisco at the Federal Building back in the early 70s, covered that for KPFA, and also I did a story, it was a blindness story that really took off for Metro Media around the United States. It was about Ray Kurzweil, and I interviewed Ray Kurzweil at Smith Kettlewell Center, and I think that CIL, then what happened was KPFA was interested in me doing a program for people with disabilities, an awareness show. And so I did a call-in talk show every once a month for KPFA. I think that it was a way for CIL to leverage a community figure as myself at the time, who was doing that live show, to come on and work with them in public relations and procurement, and I was kind of a natural with procurement, because it's being on the phone, and I think blind folks are pretty darn good on the phone, so I was always good on the phone, so it was just calling up and hitting up people for free paint and free insulation and free, you know, whatever, and it worked.
That's great. And KPFA in Berkeley also has another similar program like the one you did called Pushing Limits, which airs the first, third, and fifth Friday at 2:30 p.m. each month. And they do a sort of talk show where they talk with experts, and the show is hosted by disabled people. So it's on kpfa.org and it's live. Check it out. From 1988 to 1994, you were with the California Department of Rehabilitation's Business Enterprises Program. You were the sole proprietor food service manager. In this position, you operated 5 California food service facilities. What were these facilities and where were they located?
I operated the Department of Rehab headquarters for a year, and that was downtown Sacramento. I operated the headquarters of the California State Lottery. That was in North Sacramento. I operated the headquarters of the Office of State Printing, and I operated the State Division of Telecommunications, also close to my lottery cafeteria. And so we had, I had all these locations going at one time, and except for rehab. So I think I was running three or four locations at one time with about 36 employees. And so that lasted about 2 years. And DEP is an excellent program, and California has a very good program here. And I recommend that folks check into it because it's a great occupation.
You are the Director of Governmental Affairs and Advocacy for the California Council of the Blind, our very own CCB, from 1998 to 2008. As the director, you moved CCB proposals through the legislative process. 94% of those proposals moved through the process, and they were signed into law. Which key CCB proposals were signed into law, and how did they impact the blind community?
California Council of the Blind /ACB / National Federation of the Blind / National Federation of the Blind of California / American Foundation for the Blind, the Junior Blind of America, Braille Institute of America, the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind, and numerous other agencies serving the blind united and formed a coalition called BARC, Blind Alliance for Rehab Change. And I think our friend Mitch Pomerantz came up with that name. We'll give Mitch that credit. He had a dog at the time, so I could see why he came up with that. Hmm. And BARC was very, very influential because the disability groups that I referred to before that you and I were talking about were all set to oppose this bill, and they were counting on the fact that the Federation and the American Council of the Blind would divide themselves into fragments, and therefore they'll divide and conquer, and they won't get their bill, and they'll have their way. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. And all the agencies and groups organized, and I was the lead lobbyist on that. NFB had their lobbyist, and then we had hired the BARC had also hired a lobbyist that were we were advocates, but we hired a lobbyist. And I'm not sure how helpful that was in retrospect, but we succeeded. We started out trying to get a separate agency for the blind. And we worked on a commission for the blind, and we wanted a separate commission, but we ended up getting a division because the budget crisis with Gray Davis was really we started with Governor Duke-Majan in this project, but it went through into Gray Davis, and the bill was finally SB 105, which created a division for the blind for the first time in California, which had separate counselors, a separate field offices. Basically, we're located within regular field offices, but we call that whole division for the blind really basically its own field office. And so for the first time, we had separate services for the blind with employees that were trained in blindness and administrators that were familiar with the culture of blindness. And the point about separate agencies that was so significant was that when you have a separate agency serving the blind, the employment outcomes become a lot better. And so that's what our goal was back then, and we achieved it, and it was a fantastic experience to have gone through that. And so we worked on some other, we thought, okay, well, this coalition is pretty good. So we worked on a couple of state library telephonic reading system bills that allowed the state library and the PUC to pay for the Public Utilities Commission with surtaxes to pay for the ability of a telephonic reading service to read newspapers, magazines, periodicals, whatever, through the telephone for blind people as a library service that people could get through their state libraries. And that program is still going strong. And another bill that came out of all that was the accessible cellular phone through the California Telephone Access Program, we demanded that we wanted to, you know, have accessible cell phones. And so what happened was, it turns out we didn't need the legislation at all. This is where you're a success in legislation. If you can keep bills from going through and get it done through the back door, hey, all the better. And so we were able to do that, and that process finally did go through, and now you're getting accessible cellular phone service free of charge for blind and disabled people here in California.
Real quickly, let's talk about your roles when you were senior legislative consultant of the California State Assembly, when you were guide dogs for the Blind's Board of Directors, when you were on that board, the City of Sacramento's Disability Advisory Commission, Commissioner, Vice Chair, and the California Council of the Blind's Board of Directors. Real quickly, how did you speak out to play these roles? And what were your biggest accomplishments for each organization?
Well, Guide Dogs for the Blind was a really interesting project. I've had guide dogs since the 70s, and it was really interesting. I learned a lot being on their board of directors, and I think they came to me and asked me, mainly because of my advocacy role in CCB, and in fact, they asked me at a CCB function if I would like to be on the board, their CEO, and I said, sure. And so I think that with all boards, you want to try to get the type of people you need for your agency. They needed some, you know, advocacy work, and they needed some stuff to do with the State Guide Dog Board and that kind of stuff. So I think I fulfilled that for them. I'm still on the commission. I'm serving a new term on the commission. I took a hiatus, and then now I'm back on the commission. And I think I'm the only blind representative on our citywide commission on disability access. And Sacramento has a unique situation because we sued to the Supreme Court, Barden versus City of Sacramento, and for sidewalk access, and we said that was a public right-of-way, and therefore it's a program service. It's a service, a program of the City of Sacramento. Therefore, it's like any other program; it has to be made accessible. And Sacramento is an old town. It's about 200 years old, and it has all that infrastructure legacy going back to tree roots and trees and sidewalkless areas and stuff, and they've come a long way since they were successful on the Barden decision. But what's happening, and why I got back involved, was I was sick and tired of seeing now there's no blind people on the commission, and it starts to show. If people don't get involved, you start seeing it in your city. You start seeing construction projects with no access through those construction projects getting you around sidewalks, and it's very important that blind people have a voice in your city government. And because, you know, just think about your own situation, and if you didn't have blind representation in your city, how much worse it would be. And it's true. And that's why I got motivated to join that. As far as CCD goes, I was on the board a couple times. I was on the board in the 90s, and I was also on the board in 2000. And I mainly got involved because, you know, I have a love and an interest of CCB, and I really enjoy, I like the organization. It's provided me with a great living over the years, and I feel I wanted to give back. And so as long as I wasn't being paid, I could be on the board. It was, you know, when you're paid, you obviously can't be on the board. So I wanted to get back to CCB, and that was my main motivation there.
Now, how about as senior legislative consultant for the California State Assembly? What did you do for him?
That was a really interesting position, and I have to be a little bit careful how I put this, but I can say that I was a victim of bullying in the workplace, not by the legislator, but by another staffer who had personnel control over my situation. And so it was a decision, you know, when I look back on that decision, I said, well, I'm glad I jumped for that decision. I'm glad I went for that because grab the ring, become the legislative director for an assembly person, how fantastic. And I would have felt like, you know, I had no other choice but to jump for the ring. How would I have known what would befall me in that position? And so basically, you know, every time I would start to do something, I was being prevented from it. So that's really all I can tell you about that. I did learn a lot in that position in terms of the process, and I ran bills to the Ledge Council to get put into law, and I tracked all the bills, and I, you know, did the floor, stuff on the floor with the assembly person, and, so my experience as far as what it did for me was really phenomenal. I couldn't have beat that experience. It's the price I had to pay. And so I only really was able to last like 4 months there. And then I had to move on, mainly for my health, because the tension and the workplace environment was just intolerable. So, yeah, I wish I would have a happier story for you. But that's life, you know, that's life. And what do you do about that? You just move on and count it as a positive experience as much as you can.
So how did you decide to volunteer with ACB Radio and start Midtown Radio and do the Big Fun Show?
I needed something to bridge the failure from the legislature and get my mind off, you know, failing that job, basically. And so I really wanted to get back into broadcasting in a fun way, play music and do things that I like to do in a fun way, and to get my mind off of it and to get back into that technical thing again, you know, the electronic thing and the challenge of building up a craft, you know, building up a craft, and as you know, you had to learn how to do interviewing skills. You have to learn how to do the technical thing about recording and putting your show up and all that kind of stuff. And that's what the challenge was for me too, I didn't do that much interviewing, but I had to learn how to, you know, put my music together, have a reliable, show every week that I was consistent and, so I started on Mushroom FM, then I ended up over on Team FM. They went under, so I was on two stations that went under, and then I said, well, you know what, ACB's been around forever, so I'm going to go to ACB Radio. And I had a show in the 2000s on ACB Radio when they first started with Jonathan. I did a magazine-type show, a pre-recorded show. And I think it was in 2000, as a matter of fact. And I did about 7 shows, I think, back then. And so I've been on ACB Radio ever since. Now I'm simulcasting through my own station, Midtown Radio. And, that was another challenge, how to put up a server, an audio server, and building that up and getting that to work. So it's been a lot of fun. It's mainly a hobby. I don't expect a whole lot out of it, but it's a hobby.
And a good, rewarding hobby indeed. How can our listeners listen to the Big Fun Show?
Okay, well, they can go to ACB Radio at 1 o'clock on Saturday morning, and they can listen to it, 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, or Midtown Radio at 10 o'clock a.m. California time. And then I'm on there for 3 hours, and I do a lot of zany and crazy things.
And folks, he also has some zany and crazy music too. It's fun. Check it out. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that if you have an opportunity to do something that's a little bit beyond what you think you can do within reason, try it. It's one of those decisions that's the hardest decision to make in life, because you can say, well, why did you jump into something that it was over your head? Well, it wasn't that far over my head, and I'm glad I did it, and I'm a better person for it now. So I think, you know, jump, go for the ring and see what you can get.
Dan, you're an inspiration to us all, and we look forward to hearing you more on ACB Radio in the years to come. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brian. Have a great day.
You too. Before we go, I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode, or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook, at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter, at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out!
Here at ACB Radio Mainstream, we are always working to improve the quality of our programming. If you have any feedback about anything you have heard here on ACB Radio Mainstream, please let us know by sending an email to support@acbradio.org. That's support@acbradio.org. You are listening to ACB Radio Mainstream, connecting the blind community.